B-Pod Studios.
We'll take your calls on anything. Call us here for sports. Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Zorak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand with Bert Breer joining us in our Town Fair Tire studios. Bert, how we doing?
We're good. How's everything?
Good.
Did you get your headphones figured out there?
I think it was actually the volume. I don't think it was the headphones. I think it was actually the volume turned up. Yeah, so.
Oh, okay.
I always want to check it.
We'll figure it out during the break.
All right. What happened with Odell Beckham Jr. between yesterday at 4 o'clock when he cleared, and where he's at right now? Diana Russini reporting that it's down to three teams for him. What are you hearing on Odell?
Yeah,
Beckham
I mean, Jr.? I can tell you the Saints have been involved, and I know the Chiefs are too. The Chiefs, I'm not as sure about the Packers, but the Chiefs, I can tell you, kind of had, it was more like we'll do it, but we don't have that much money to spend right now. And so they're sort of looking at it as a, hey, look, like if you want to come here because you want to play with Patrick Mahomes and you're willing to take a little bit less, then we'll be in on this. So I think right now it's, you know, the interest wasn't like off the charts coming out of the gate. Remember, teams had a week to consider this.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, with some of the teams involved, it's more like let's take a flyer. And I think one thing to remember here, too, it's just a weird year because COVID, this is the year that COVID really hit the salary cap. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a lot less cap space out there, and more teams are looking at it and saying, we already mortgaged a bunch of contracts to make it work this year. The cap isn't going to explode next year. It's the year after that that it's going to explode. So they're a little less willing to kind of go all in at, like, say, $7 or $8 million for a guy like this, which is why he cleared waivers yesterday.
All right, we're going to go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in Patriots linebacker Kyle Van Noy, who joins us now on the show. Kyle.
What's up, man? Hey, you just kind of said be quiet to Breer right there. It's kind of messed up.
No, it's not.
Like brought me in.
Are you a Breer guy?
You're on a schedule. Breer? You're on a schedule right now. You're working.
I don't mind Breer. I mean, I do. He's been respectful. I think people have cut some of the things in some of his articles to make me sometimes look like a problem, but for the most part, he's been pretty honest towards me.
I never misquoted you. I didn't say you.
I didn't say you. I said people have taken quotes
stuff, right,
from your stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't clear
I always thought we were good, Kyle.
No, we are. We're great.
Okay. Yeah.
Who are you not good with?
Yeah, yeah.
Who are you not good with, Kyle?
What about the morning show?
That's who I'm not good with.
I think
you guys know. Don't get me riled up.
I think the morning show is taking some shots too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who?
Our morning show, I think, is taking some shots.
I don't know who's on your morning show.
Let's touch her and Rich.
I'm just as interested into who Bert has misquoted. Yeah. He said, I never misquoted you, Kyle. Who have you misquoted?
No, I don't misquote anybody.
I'm saying that people
have misquoted from his article.
What he's saying, correct me if I'm wrong. I think what you're saying is people have taken like snippets of what you said and blown them up, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
fair.
Especially the whole Cam Newton thing when I, you know, had a full-on conversation with you about it. People took snippets from that entire interview we had.
Right, right.
Gotcha.
All right.
Defense playing well now. It seems like you guys have gotten into some sort of more of a base front seven. And when I mean base, the rotation of that three big, whether it's Godchild, Guy, you know, Carl Davis, and of course the young kid Barmore, which puts you and Judon on the edge with the two thumpers behind you. Do you guys like that front with less substitution?
I mean, I like it. I'm on the field.
Yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, we're a defense. We're so interchangeable. Guys can do so many different things. And we have such a group. We have a good depth everywhere. So everybody's itching and scratching to get on the field. So when anybody gets a chance to, they want to make the most of it. I mean, that goes from for example, look at Jamie Collins, the amount of snaps he's gotten to the production's been amazing. Barmore, his production keeps going up. LG and DG are stopping the run like crazy right now. So everybody's doing a good job of, you know, finding what their role is. Carl's doing a good job too, in the front of the nose. So guys are just working well with each other and just feeding off each other's energy. It's been fun.
You know, I had a good conversation with Devin about this about a week ago, and he was mentioning how he felt like over like the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season, you guys kind of had to figure out who you were as a team, you know, and like kind of figure out what the identity of the team is. And I think you're sort of hitting on that there when you're talking about like cycling through how the rotations work and everything else. Do you feel like maybe that's come together the last couple of weeks and the way you guys have played defensively? And maybe that's part of why like the play is, it at least feels like Kyle moving to another level.
Yeah, I think you're on to something. I also think, too, like we played 91 snaps against the Cowboys. That's not how you want to play a game. So to have a little bit more complimentary football from, you know, the special teams gaining extra yards, the offense, you know, setting them up, you know, even if they aren't scoring to pin them back down and us keeping – we're just playing better complimentary football.
Were you? Did you guys get Sam Darnold to see ghosts again, like you did last time you played him?
He's trying to set you up.
No, that's not a setup.
Look at you! You're trying to get me on Pro Football Focus again.
No, you said it last time. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Yeah, Pro Football Talk.
Pro PFT.
Pro Football Focus is doing some stuff
about
up
PFF.
Now too.
You know how I feel about PFF. They make you seem like you suck, but. Anyways, the Pro Football Talk, I can't get on there either. But I will have to say, he was creeping up there, huh? He kind of was, right?
I mean, he did a good job getting outside the pocket when there was pressure, but it seemed like he never set his feet.
I will say he was moving in that pocket. I mean, I'm shocked we didn't get him a bunch of more times. I mean, he was back there under a lot of pressure all game. I mean, I think we missed probably 5 or 6 sacks if you go back and look at the tape, but he did a good job of evading. It was just when we got him outside of the pocket, we also had good trigger guys that were going to still keep the pressure on him and ultimately force him into some mistakes.
I like one of the things I noticed this week, too, was what Bill said about Barmore. And, you know, I can't think of too many times when he's been, I guess, that over the top about a rookie.
Yeah, y'all going to watch him a little bit more now, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like, you don't, like Bill doesn't, like, you. Usually that sort of talk is reserved for guys on other teams or veterans, you know? Like, so what have you seen about Christian that's maybe, like, earned him that level of praise from Bill?
There's actually quite a few. We got to keep him humble, though. We can't get him to look at all these things we're saying. But just to say something short, is just his disruptiveness, his ability to be disruptive in the run game, his ability to affect the passer and push the pocket to allow, you know, the quarterback not to step up so you get that edge pressure a little bit more. He's just been very disruptive.
I just looked at your PFF grade for the year.
Uh-oh.
I look at you.
You're at, yeah. Well, then,
how bad is it?
It's 56.3.
Is that bad?
That's not good.
Yeah,
a 90 to 100 is elite. 89 to 85 is Pro Bowler, and then from 70 up to 84 is starter. You're in what they call the replaceable range.
Wow.
0 to 59. But then let me give you another score. Right, the guy you were just talking about, Christian Barmore, they've got him at 57.1. Also, they think everybody sucks.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Who's good?
It's a good question. I'll try and tell you who some of the best numbers are.
All right.
I have to look them up on the team. But, yeah, wow. They think everybody's terrible.
Yeah,
do we have anybody on the defense that's like carrying Kyle and Christian then? Is that a PFF?
hey, local news.
I guess the real question is, what would y'all PFF scored me for your reporting skills. Oh, look at that.
I don't even think we would. No,
I'm not a reporter. I mean, I don't report nothing.
Bert would score highly. The rest of us probably would not even be on the chart.
I have decent intangibles. Those are hard to measure, you know, Kyle?
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Something locally I just want to make you aware of, Kyle, a little, maybe a limited time only. The turkey and sweet potato hash at Amber Road Cafe feels like a seasonal menu option. Had it last weekend. Get it while you can. It's got my full endorsement. It's delightful.
Good for you.
Yeah,
that's it's an unreal place, by the way.
Yes,
that it's nice and quaint, but like their food out of that kitchen. There's two twin brothers back there that they do the damn thing back there.
Do you get some consideration for a table when you show up, or do you wait outside like the rest of us jerks?
I actually pick it up through the back.
Yeah. Like Goodfellas.
Knock on the door. Hey, yep. is my food ready? Yeah. All right, I'm picking it up.
Is it a special knock he's got?
yeah, there's a little code, so I can't tell you. Yeah. So they got to know it's me.
Okay,
yeah, that's very good. Okay, well, Kyle, appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping in.
Yeah, thank you guys. You guys have a good week.
We'll
see if you guys did a better job on your PFF scores for the week.
I'm gonna have all kinds of PFF scores for you the next time you call. We're going to go over them. Yeah. Full report card.
Good luck this week.
Same, man.
All right, see you guys.
Kyle Van Noy, New England Patriots linebacker with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Let's get back to that OBJ stuff that we were talking about prior to Kyle calling in. We'll do that with Bert coming up right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take,
right? But it's a reheated take, microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The telephone number. Bert Breer with us. Let's just reset on everything we were talking about Odell Beckham Jr. We'll give away Patriots tickets at the end of the segment.
Nice.
You had spoken, Bert, about Odell Beckham Jr. was considering the Saints. Money is obviously a factor in all of these different places. Yeah. Where do you think he ultimately is going to land if you had to put a bet on it?
You know, I thought Seattle was a possibility, and I still wouldn't totally rule them out. But I think the Chiefs and the Saints probably have the best shot at him right now. And we'll see what happens. So much is going to boil down to what he wants. You know, does he want to go to the place that's offering him the most money? Does he want to go to the place that's going to give him the best chance to compete for a championship? Does he want to go to the place that's going to help him, like, restore his stock? Because he's going to be a free agent, you know, for the first time in March. And I think he'll still be 29 years old at that point. So I think it's sort of going to boil down to what he wants. I'm just here to tell you, like, if I was the Patriots, I wouldn't touch him. Like, I wouldn't. Because I just don't think it's good for your young quarterback. And I think everything that you do in the passing game now has to be about him. And
even with Bill, getting to him.
Yeah, because I just think it's – here's the thing. Like, I'd be worried about, like, a guy like that at best creating bad habits for your young quarterback and at worst being a problem for your young quarterback. I think the upside with Mac is that, you know, he gets to a place where he can play. And, like, this is where the Chad Pennington comparison comes for me, where he can play where all five guys are alive in every route. Right. Like, and he's making the defense defend the entire breadth of the field because he's able to find the weaknesses, the dead spots in the defense, right?
Right.
And if you're training a guy to do that, you want balance across your skill positions. I think throwing a guy into the mix where you feel like you have to look over there every three plays if you haven't thrown it to him, because you got to make sure he's engaged. I think that's unhealthy for your young quarterback. And I can tell you, just talking to the people in Cleveland, they did not think it was a coincidence that Baker started playing better last year after Beckham went down. And just having talked to a couple of their coaches, Baker was in an awfully good mood on Sunday morning. When people saw him at the stadium, there was a little hop in his step. Why do you think that was?
Because Odell Beckham Jr. was gone and no longer in the room.
Baker's a piece of work too, though.
No, but here's the thing, though. Like Baker's like Mac that way too. Baker's at his best when he's playing point guard out there, right?
Yeah.
And Baker, like, it wasn't healthy for Baker to have to worry about like basically like personal maintenance of Odell Beckham, right? Like that wasn't healthy for him. And so you'd know this, like if you have that in your head that I got to worry about this guy over here being a problem if I don't get him the ball every three times, like you're going to develop bad habits. And so, like, I'm not saying I don't think Beckham can be a productive player. I think he can.
Yeah.
I think one of the keys where the Moss comparison comes to me, like really is real for me, I think he'd be best off going to a place where the quarterback's more famous than he is. That sounds weird.
Wow.
But, like...
So then he's got to go to Mahomes.
Like, a Mahomes, Wilson...
Saints doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Why not Green Bay?
I think Green Bay would... It's like, to me, like, Green Bay would be interesting.
Yeah.
And there's risk, but there's a ton of upside there. Because there he'd be going to a place where it's like, Devontae Adams is on the other side. So you aren't the best receiver on the team.
You got him, you got Scantling, you got Adams, but then right. You got a quarterback that you know that routes are alive, right. And he could spin it to me at any time.
Like, Adams is a better receiver than Beckham, right?
I agree with that.
And so, like, I think so much of this, like, the reason why Moss worked here, for at least in the short term, I think is because when he came in here, he did not have leverage on the quarterback. And because of that, they were able to play him within the normal context of their offense, mm-hmm. And they got him the ball plenty. But they were able to play him in the normal context of the offense, and he bought into it because it was like, I can't point the finger at the quarterback right. Or the coach here because like they've got more like they're the ones that are like carrying the stick here, you know? And so like I think it's like for him, I think the best result would be to go to a place that's got an established quarterback that can get the most out of him where he's not going to be tempted if he goes into a game and has two catches. And like the whole thing's going to blow up. And I think Cleveland's evidence of that. People are looking at this like he's coming out of a broken situation. That's not a bad situation, is it?
No, shouldn't be.
Like, Hardy, you're like kind of like shaking your head there.
No, I don't think I don't think it's a bad situation, no.
It's a healthy situation. You've got a young quarterback you had a relationship with. His best friend, like, in the sport is on the team, Jarvis Landry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You've got a head coach who's very level-headed. You're playing for the offense.
See, I know nothing about him.
You're playing in the offensive scheme that everyone wants to play in, right? Like that, the Shanahan-McVay style of offense.
Sure.
The right. One that everybody's stolen over the last, like, from each other over
but
the
But
it's
last. Also super productive for receivers and guys that want to rack up some stats.
It's been, yeah. I mean, right? Like, look at Cooper Kupp right now in L.A.,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Look at Julio Jones when he played in Atlanta, right?
So receivers should be happy with that.
Right. A.J. Brown in Tennessee playing in that offense for Arthur Smith. I mean, like, it's a very player-friendly offense. So, like, that's the thing is, like...
And he couldn't find happiness.
And everybody is assuming, like, oh, well, he'll come in here and Bill will sit him down and in 20 minutes the whole thing will be solved. There were a lot of good things for him in Cleveland. A lot of good things for him in Cleveland. And so, like, I just don't understand where people think, like, that this he's coming from this broken situation. Moss was coming from a broken situation.
Yes.
Like, Moss was coming from a Raiders team that was a complete bleep show. That's not what Beckham's coming from. Beckham fell on his face in a situation that I think most people would succeed.
That he was set up to thrive in.
Right.
He couldn't because he can't get out of his own way.
Right.
Because he's concerned about himself and himself only. And even in a situation that could have been really good for him and benefited him in great ways, he just couldn't.
And they did everything.
Couldn't figure it out.
And there was no, like, that's the other thing is if you talk to these coaches, what they'll tell you is that, like, there was no sign of this coming, right? Like, he was fine in the building. Now, he's never going to be a team leader. So he's aloof and quiet, whatever, you know? But he got along with everybody. He got along with the rest of the players. The rest of the players really liked him. Mm-hmm. And he was never a problem for the coaches. So, like, yes, he quietly requested a trade after the Steeler game. But then, like, within 48 hours, his dad's posting, like, a video like that completely throws the quarterback under the bus, right? And other people in the organization. he's got LeBron James of all people. Like tweet, like it's just like I look at it like it's just if I look at like the how good the situation was in Cleveland, how it was handled, how that came out of nowhere, I'm scared to death if I'm a contending team where it's like, you know, if we bring him in and like we have like 2 or 3 weeks where we think things are going good and he only has like 3 or 4 catches, do we have to spend like Tuesday players day off on social media making sure there's nothing wrong?
But what I would keep pointing back to, and we, you know, we talked about it, you know, his actual performance, if he only has 3 or 4 catches over the course of the first few weeks, how much of it is on him as opposed to not being utilized enough? I mean, he's catching half of the balls that were thrown his way so far this season, 17 catches on 34 targets. And I went back and watched some of them. It's like, okay, there were some bad throws in there, some errant throws.
There's some drops, too.
But there's some drops, too. So it's like, and I don't know how you convince a guy like him. It's like, hey, it's not about you not being used the right way. It's you not being the same you that you were back with the Giants. And right. It's the thing that Perillo's talked about time and time again. And I feel he's onto something. It's like, I just don't know if he's that good.
Also could be a guy who's just not that focused.
Right.
Okay, but yeah.
And it's not
right, giving it a name.
And it's not giving 100%.
Right.
Right?
But the talent should at some point supersede either the problems he causes in the building or allow him to, even unfocused, a guy who's that talented is going to come down with more balls than he has so far this year. He hasn't caught that many.
I love where Mac is as a quarterback 2 months into his NFL career, and I'm not messing with it.
Good. We're going to pick that up on the other side, but more on Mac Jones and also more on the Patriots drafting.
Go see Mac this weekend here,
right,
huh?
Now, you can go see Mac this weekend by calling number 10, being caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line.
Light him up.
617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to be at Gillette Stadium this Sunday. The Patriots welcome Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns to town. Baker. Tune into the Sports Up pregame coverage with me and Gasper starting at... I'm sorry? 10 a.m. on Sunday, post-game with Jim and Joe Murray right here on the Sports Hub. That's all coming up on Sunday. If you're caller 10 right now on the contest line, 617-931-0985, you will be going to the game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
If you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Receivers to the wide side right, one to the left. Harris along with Aguilar make it two. A quick throw across the middle, picked off.
No.
It's intercepted. Who has it? Gilmore to the 40. Inside the 35, he's brought down by Jones and company. He makes his mark against his former team. He sets up the Panthers in outstanding field position.
It's a big money players do right there. Anticipate. Route recognition, read the eyes of the quarterback, and then jump the under route.
Mac Jones on Sunday. Bert Breer, the MMQB, is with us here on Zolak at Bertrand. Let's get to the quarterback situation of the New England Patriots. I don't think anyone's going to tell you that Mac Jones is playing his best football at this moment in time, Bert. And the question I have is for the Patriots, can they continue to win games down the stretch for the final months of the season with Mac Jones playing the way that he's playing right now?
I think like maybe the most encouraging thing is like the way that we've seen, I would say over the last 2 weeks and maybe three, we've seen like the Chargers game, definitely. The Jets game is a little bit of a throwaway just because of how poorly the Jets played. But I think the last 3 weeks, we've seen like what we thought the formula was going to be coming into the year. And we didn't really get that earlier on, right? Like where it looked at least like they had the type of team that could insulate a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, run the ball, play good defense.
Yeah, and like help, like kind of like ride out like some of the bumps. So I think what Mac is going through right now is very, very normal. And if you look at like the kind of the arc of guys like Herbert, guys like Wentz a bunch of years ago, like guys who have played as rookies, like what you'll see a lot of the time is the coaches will have stuff baked into the offense where for the first 5 or 6 weeks they can game it up and make it really easy on the young quarterback. And then the league winds up adjusting. And then it become, then there's a second challenge. It's can the coaches counterpunch? Can the quarterback counterpunch? And I think right now they're in the middle of it. To me, what makes it more difficult to kind of get out of that is the types of pass rush teams they're playing against, right? Because you don't want them getting the crap kicked out of them. You faced Bosa last week. This week you had Brian Burns and Derek Brown and like a really, really good Panthers front. So you, I mean, we talked about that last week, how good they are.
Dude, Burns is great, man.
Burns is awesome. Yeah.
Thompson. See, and I agree.
Like, I think that's the problem. Like, so like, you get Cleveland this week.
Yep.
That's Myles Garrett, Clowney, those guys. And then after that, like the Titans, the Bills, like you're not going to get too many breaks like playing teams that can't get after them.
These edge guys, these are probably the two best edge guys you face all year. And
right.
Even going back to Dallas and Tampa Bay, we look at some stuff and Clowney and the ability of Garrett on two strides, and Bill talks about their stride.
Yeah.
Two steps and they're already past upfield, getting ready to come
just
back
so
down.
Tall and long.
They're tall and long and extend. This would be like the perfect Trent Brown game to where, if Trent could have played and he could have that extension there. But what I do like about Mac, and I know a lot of people are assuming like he's plateaued or this is the best you're ever going to see him play. I think he's going to continue to grow. But what I like about him on these games and during these games, when he doesn't play well, when he hasn't played well the last 2 weeks, he had that 7-minute drive at the end of the Chargers game where he threw it to five different guys.
Yep. He had the four for four at the end of the last drive.
Four for four.
Yeah.
Had the pick to Gilmore right before the half. He comes back on a 3rd and 5 and hits Brandon Bolden on that wheel route. Just drops it in there. They go down and he hits Hunter Henry for a touchdown. He comes back after probably one of his worst moments in the game where the worst moment doesn't fester for him.
We saw that against Dallas. Right.
Yeah.
Like that he kept firing like
Dallas. The kid keeps coming.
And a lot of like and look, like I don't like to be honest with you, like I think we've seen that quality in Fields in Chicago. I'm not sure we've seen that quality in Wilson in New York. Like when things start to come unraveled on him,
he likes it more.
They kind of like keep going, you know, and like he presses and you don't see that with Mac, which is, I think, a great sign. Like the fact that like he's able to compartmentalize where he's shaky or he's gotten knocked around a little bit. And still make critical throws. Like, even like on Sunday, I don't think any of us would tell you that that was his best game. Like, he still made a few critical third down throws to kind of keep the chains moving. And, like, I just think that that's such an important trait because he's not done with his bumps. You know, like, there are going to be ups and downs the rest of the year.
So, to talk about what it is with rookie quarterbacks, you know, to have sort of that up and down that you mentioned Carson Wentz. By the time the end of the season had rolled around for Wentz, Wentz was hurt and wasn't playing at the end of his rookie season. Correct?
No, that was year two.
Oh, that was year two.
But if you year one, if you look at Wentz, like Wentz is the perfect, like probably to me, like Wentz is probably the most extreme example where if you look and his stats, I'm sure show this, but the first like 5-6 games a year, I mean, he looked like an alien. Like it was like unbelievable the way he was playing. And then he leveled off, right? And then it was like there was like a 7 or 8 game stretch where he didn't play very well. Then at the end, he kind of caught fire. And that set the stage for his, like, I think in 17, what would have been like an MVP type of year if he hadn't gotten hurt in December against the Rams.
Yeah, that's right. It was 2017 was year two for him, not year one.
Right.
But to go to rookie quarterbacks in general, never mind whether you think they're good, bad, there have only been a short list of quarterbacks that have won a playoff game as a rookie. So the question then becomes, if you're going to win a playoff game with a rookie, although you look at the list, and I'll tell you who it is, I'll tell you who's on the list, but if you're going to win a playoff game with a rookie, is Mac Jones one of those guys that can be one of those rookies that wins a game? And can you win because of him? Not just be, you know, with him, but can you win a playoff game because of the way Mac Jones plays?
I don't think you're going to win. I think you have to use the formula a lot of the quarterbacks that you're about to name have used. Like those guys, if you look at those the names on that list, and I'm peeking over your shoulder here so I see them. In a lot of cases, these are quarterbacks who had really good infrastructure around them.
John Wolford with the Rams of a year ago,
which
is one
name
of them.
Expecting to
but here are the
see,
others.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, that makes a lot of sense. We know how good Russell Wilson is. T.J. Yates, surprising. Mark Sanchez in 2009 when they went all the way to the AFC title game.
But that one, like Yates, I believe he was playing against Andy Dalton in that game, so it was rookie versus rookie.
Rookie versus bad rookie. Joe Flacco in 2008. Ben Roethlisberger in 2004. Aaron Brooks with the Saints in 99.
Wow.
Same year, Sean King with the Bucks. And then
and
prior
the
to
way,
that, it was Dieter Brock with the Rams in 1985.
I thought I was right about this, too, and I just looked it up. Wolford wasn't really a rookie because he was considered a rookie by the letter of the law, but he had been on practice squads and
that's not a true rookie.
Yeah, I mean, he came into the league as an undrafted free agent in 18, so he's not a real rookie.
All right, but by, I guess, like standards, the NFL
right, like if you don't play a certain amount of games, as a rookie, you get counted as a rookie.
Right. Okay, yeah, well, there's your list then. So the last true rookie to do it was Russell Wilson 9 years ago.
Right.
It's been a while. Rookie quarterbacks don't typically win playoff games.
I think like Flacco and Roethlisberger are probably the Flacco, Roethlisberger, and Sanchez are probably the best three examples on that list of how you do it, though, right? Like where you're not asking a ton of them.
Yeah,
like, because when those guys were rookies, those teams weren't asking the world of them.
Yeah, I would say Flacco especially. Flacco to me is the most. I would say probably the most similar to the Patriots in terms of the ask.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of what they're asking of the quarterback.
Right. I mean, Flacco got all the way to the AFC title game that year.
He had a really good defense.
Right.
Good players.
Yep.
So I don't know that the Patriots have that defense. They're definitely
trending up. That was Ray Lewis
up.
In his prime, Ed Reed in his
Correct.
Prime, Ray Rice. I mean, like that was a really, really good team. Harbaugh's first year there.
We'll get some of your calls coming up. Also, what a Patriots playoff win, assuming they get there, could mean for Bill Belichick. Want to get to that subject with Bert. He's with us here in studio. We'll get to your calls as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You say dialogue, so says.
It's nice to have sort of this open dialect with you to where...
Dialogue.
What did I say?
Dialect.
I said dialect.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you ready to admit New England is for real?
I'm not going to go as far as to say it's for real. I'm going to correct myself. I'm now on the side of Dan Orlovsky. I think he was right when he talked about this team's going to make the playoffs. Because I'm looking at the rest of the AFC.
That's the
I'm looking at the last 2 weeks how Cincinnati has fallen off. I'm looking at the Raiders yesterday having fallen off. I'm thinking about the AFC West and how they're battling with one another and no one is really standing out. I watched Buffalo lose to Jacksonville. You know, I'm like, my God. I mean, you know, now all of a sudden, New England looks like right in the mix with everybody else. And if you're right in the mix with everybody else and Bill Belichick's your coach, I think it's fair to surmise that New England can end up doing some things and making it to the postseason.
Stephen A. Smith saying the Patriots can be in the playoffs, can be a postseason team by doing some things. Bill Simmons would tell you it's 2001-ish right now. I mean, he said that at 4-4. I imagine he is celebrating like crazy at 5-4 this
week.
Now it's
2007. Now it's T-Bone.
Now it's like that wagon of a team in 2004 that the Patriots had, right?
Wagon.
I mean, just a true wagon now. Forget it. Everyone get out of the way. That's what's happening. So, Bert, let me ask you a question. Let's play a game. Bill Belichick gets to the playoffs with Mac Jones, and they win a game, and they do the thing that we just described last segment. Right, they don't ask a lot of their quarterback. They win on defense, and they win a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that put him against Tom Brady, and how's that make him look a couple of years removed from the Tom Brady situation coming to a close here?
A lot better. I mean, like I think Brady doing what he did last year sort of means he can't lose the argument because we all knew when Brady
year one.
Went to, well, because we all knew when Brady went to Tampa, right? Like, there's probably only like 2 or 3 years left, right? Like realistically. And so if you had asked me in like February of 2020, like if Brady wins one Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years and then retires, like, is there any argument that Brady was a huge part? There's no argument against it, right? Like, it's right there for you because he took what he did here and basically transferred it somewhere else and won in short order. So I don't think Brady can lose it, but it's possible Belichick could turn it into a draw eventually. Yeah. And, like, and I think get more credit for having developed Brady. Yeah. And I think ultimately, like, they're both, I think both of them are the best of all time in their spot, like best coach, best quarterback of all time. But if we're trying to parse credit, like, there's no question that getting to a place where you're in the playoffs after a quick rebuild with the arrow pointing up would certainly make Bill look good when it comes to that argument.
I think it puts him right back in the conversation here. And
I don't know if he can ever win.
I think it brings him back in a big way. That's not to say he's going to win it.
Yeah.
But it feels a lot closer to have to go the amount of work for Bill to get the Patriots back to the playoffs and winning a game with a rookie quarterback.
It's a lot.
Is a lot more work than Tom Brady did in going to Tampa and winning a Super Bowl.
I don't know, man.
I don't know
because,
about that.
Because we're talking about the infrastructure.
I'm not saying that it would ever appropriately be viewed as being better. It's not better.
You said
right?
The
workload.
Brady won the conversation. The only thing Belichick can do now is to try and reestablish himself as a part of it. And he doesn't have time on his side. He doesn't have to think that winning one playoff game, even and it would be remarkable. It'd be great. We'd celebrate it as a great achievement. And it would be, I mean, it would prove that he is a
I didn't say it was better.
You said put him in the
I said it takes more work and it puts him in
well,
the conversation.
Okay, well, let me finish what I'm saying. You said put him in the conversation as to who it was, Brady or Belichick. Brady won it. He went to a loser franchise with a new team and won the Super Bowl the first year. The argument is done.
During a pandemic where he couldn't even establish relationships personally.
That's the thing, like, is that to me it's there's this infrastructure that they built, right? Culture, system, all of that different stuff, right, that we've talked about for 20 years. Bill stayed in it. Tom took it somewhere else. So, like, I understand what you're saying. There's more work involved with rebuilding
a
team.
Way more work, yeah.
That's correct. But Bill had the benefit of the infrastructure that the two of them built together for 20 years, whereas Brady was going to someplace where that infrastructure didn't exist. In fact, like, you could argue that it was, like, on the other side of the spectrum based on where Tampa has been really over the last 13, 14 years since John Gruden left there.
But talent at the end of the day was far better on his roster in Tampa Bay than it was here in New England, and still is.
It was, but nobody was sitting here. Like, in January of 2020, like, if I had told you in 2 months Tom Brady's going to sign with the Bucs, every single person in this city would have, like, been, oh, yeah, good luck with that.
Right, exactly.
And the biggest change in talent, I would say, Beetle, is Brady. I mean, that's the argument. Was it more Bill or is it more Tom? And you're absolutely right. There was more talent. He had more talent. And then he got Antonio Brown and he got Gronkowski to come back. But Brady, it's Tom. He went from one to the other. And whether it's a fair or a completely even, he did it in his first year with a brand new team and a new system with a new coach. It's done. And for to think that Bill can reestablish himself in the conversation with one playoff win.
There is a conversation. We're having a conversation about it right now. And I think that it would be a conversation. I am not in at all suggesting that it would be a greater accomplishment than what Brady did. There is an interesting conversation about it.
There's a good example with Peyton Manning, right? Like, how long did it take? Peyton Manning, like, went to Denver, and they were really good right away. But they had to go through, like, a coaching change. They had to go through roster turnover. Like, how much did the Broncos have to go through until Manning won it, right? Like, and then when he won it, it was about everybody
else.
I mean,
right.
you've got to remember.
So, like, doing it that quick.
You've got to remember.
Like, I don't think we discount that.
What the discussion was after Brady winning the Super Bowl back in the spring when it was
that Bill, it's over.
Bill has embarrassed himself. It's over. The team was dreadful. They don't have a plan at quarterback. I mean, that's what we were talking about in the spring. To go from that in the spring to they drafted a guy in the first round. They developed him in year one. They got to the playoffs and won a playoff game. Oh, maybe it wasn't all Brady like people were saying back in February, March, and April. Maybe it was, in fact, both of them, like many of us had assumed for two decades, that, oh, look, Bill can have some level of success without his quarterback, that there is still a system and a program that is intact that is now building toward being a better team in the coming years. Whereas Bill, to go back to the winter months in spring before they drafted Mac Jones, this thing was a slaughter. Bill looked horrible, and he's just gotten himself up off the mat, if that's how it goes.
And I think the conversation starts again. You start to have
it's
a
not
conversation
over at that point.
Well, the conversation gets away from people who in the spring were saying, like, Bill's just another head coach. He's a really good head coach, but he's just another head coach who had the greatest quarterback of all time playing for his team for 20 years. If he's able to get this team to a point where they're a playoff winning team with this quarterback this year, it's going to be as much about the defense, and Bill's going to get the credit for that.
And that's his thing.
As well he should. And I think that's where the conversation leans toward. Bill is, in fact, still the greatest of all time. But if you're talking about who gets more of the credit for it, I think Tom has already won it, and he'll always.
It wasn't that long ago.
Not if Bill, eventually wins again.
I think Bill can pull even is if he sets the team up for long-term success with a new group of guys. Like, I don't think it can be a single year. Like, right? Unless
I would agree with that. No,
if you can set the team up for sustained success again, then that shows that what you built over 20 years is real, even without the quarterback in there. And it like sort of bolsters what we saw in 2008 with Matt Castle and how they were able to win with Jimmy in the short term, right? Like it validates
the Patriots wins right now validate their close losses. Winning with Mac Jones validates Matt Castle all these years later.
Right.
You people forget a couple weeks ago, they were 1-3 and people were calling in. Will he make it through the year? Or will you move on from Belichick after this year? That was a month ago.
No, wait, look,
people called in here. I heard shows on the station about it.
And if
we're talking about, is he close to one up?
And if they lose three in a row,
not one upping, just getting up off the mat,
being back.
Right. And if they lose three in a row, then they're going to be firing him from 2-6 again, right?
Bingo. Look, and long-term success for the team, that factors in the stuff that Zoe said, all very, very accurate and deserves to be mentioned. But when you get it down to the nuts and bolts, just bare bones, unless Bill wins another Super Bowl with a different quarterback, Tom wins the conversation.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
That's how we judge everybody at the end of the day, right? Check that scoreboard.
Right. But there are also levels to it, right? Like if he, so like let's say they make the playoffs the next 3 years in a row and make like maybe a conference title game and he walks away and hands it off to Josh, like, then I think he's a little closer, right? Like, it's not like even, but he's
not a
little
blowout.
Closer. Right.
It's not a blowout where all the credit has to go to Brady.
Right. Like,
where you say, okay, so he couldn't do it without Brady, but he was pretty good in his own right.
Good example.
You know?
Good example is Mike Shanahan in Denver, right? Mike Shanahan won two Super Bowls in his first 4 years in Denver with John Elway. They came back after that, and they were really good, but they never got over the hump. And, like, Shanahan still gets credit for that, right? Like, because they got past Elway. I think they got to a conference championship game with Jake Plummer. They drafted who they thought at one point was going to be their quarterback of the future in Jay Cutler. It looked like they got it right. And I don't think it's his fault that Cutler's career went the wrong way. So, like, if it looks like that, like what Shanahan did post-Elway in Denver, then I think he gets credit for that, too.
All right, we can continue this conversation coming up right after these headlines. No commercials and your calls. We'll do that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.